This news is funded by viewers and listeners like you. Please support our work at democracynow.org/support.
As a pedestrian, you see headlights, but that doesn't mean the driver sees you. When walking at dawn, dusk, or after dark, make sure to be seen by oncoming traffic. Walk facing traffic. Wear light-colored, light-reflective clothing. Carry a bright light so drivers can see you. Use crosswalks. See and be seen. Pedestrian safety. It's no accident.
It certainly is not. You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook, hopefully not by accident, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and to the entire world over WUSB.FM, where we wish our listeners in Western Europe a Happy New Year. Take it away, Bing.
One minute to midnight, 1 minute to go, 1 minute to say goodbye before we say hello. Let's start the new year right, 12 o'clock tonight, when they dim the light. Let's begin. Kissing the old year out, kissing the new year in. Let's watch the old year die with a fond goodbye and our hopes as high as a kite. How can our love go wrong if we start the new year
off the wall, New Year's Eve edition. Thank you. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
Happy New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's to the people in Western Europe and all points to the east of that, up until the international dateline, where, it's already, all right, let's try to understand this. It's already New Year's in New Zealand and Australia and places like that, but everything to the east of that, like Hawaii, it's still old year, so they're last. And Western Europe, they're celebrating right now. We've been there, New Year's celebrations. Everybody's lighting off fireworks and making a great big mess. You look perplexed, Kyle.
Why do you keep saying Western Europe?
Because it's Western Europe is like Germany, France, Spain, Portugal, as opposed to Eastern Europe, which is Bulgaria, Albania, Romania, etc.
Okay, yeah. Right. Because that follows the international dateline.
Yes.
Around also the Mideast. Aren't time zones fun?
Oh, yeah, time zones are very fun. But we have one more coming up, and that is the United Kingdom coming up at 7 o'clock our time.
Woo.
Yes. Wow. But we had to discipline a device that was misbehaving.
So I heard you were going to go with a new hairstyle in 2025.
No, we don't talk about my hairstyle on the radio.
Your resolution.
No, that's for the TV show. That's
I'm
not
just
for the radio show.
Saying your demeanor.
There's going to be some changes in the new year. I'll tell you that right now. 2025. It's going to be our year.
Where's my camera? I need to document this. Just right here.
Uh huh.
Just for my own records.
You want to talk about what happened to us yesterday? I wanted to make mention of this. First of all, we're taking phone calls tonight. If anyone out there would like to call us and talk about New Year's, the last year, the new year coming up, or thoughts in general, write down the phone number because it's different than the radio station phone number because we're in a remote studio. And we have the phone number of 802 because we're up in Vermont, or are we? 802-321-4225. 802-321-4225. You call that number and you'll reach us and maybe you'll be on the air saying various things to us or whatever, telling us your story. We had a fun adventure. We got stranded out in Riverhead. I won't say how we got stranded out in Riverhead, but we did. And
maintaining.
Well, here's the thing. We were supposed to have a car to come back, and for reasons I'm not going to get into, the car was not able to come back with us. So we had to get back to Port Jefferson area, Stony Brook area, by ourselves. And everybody was very helpful, making suggestions. Yeah, you could take Uber, you can get a taxi cab. One fella said we should hitch, which I didn't think was a smart idea. But all the other ideas that people came up with cost something like about $120 to pull off. And, you know, to get from one place to another place, especially when you had just come from the other place, and be out $120 just for the privilege of doing that, didn't strike me as the smartest thing to do. And that's when I noticed a bus stop. And, yeah, a bus stop. Imagine that, on Long Island. And that's where buses go and stop. And I was able to quickly download an app and discover that a bus was coming in a few minutes. And it came. It was there. And we got on the bus, and we figured out how much to pay. And it was something like $2 each. And that was it. And it went right where we wanted to go. Well, close to where we wanted to go. Close enough. But imagine that. We have mass transit right here in Suffolk County. A lot of people don't realize that. You might see the buses going by and say, oh, those poor people have to take a bus. You know what? It's not such a bad thing. First of all, they have these little tiny buses now, which you have a bus card, Kyle.
Yeah, I have it's a paper style. It reminds me a lot of the RTA, Regional Transit Authority in France.
Okay.
Paris. Or, you know, they have the BA.
Yeah, the
same texture, but
the little cards you put in, not the little tiny tickets, the really tiny tickets that they have over there.
No, it's similar. It's MTA size with a little corner.
Yeah, old Metro card size.
But this is more disposable, and it's the magnetic stripe is not as glossy as the BA in France.
It's, so, kind, of, anyway. It's kind of like a transfer on the MTA.
Exactly. You know,
a paper ticket.
Much more like that. And anyway, that's what they give you in exchange. It's a little like standing meter.
That's
you
right there in the bus. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to peer over it and like plunk your coins in and handle your bills. I walked in and I assumed it was near the driver somewhere, so I was like handing him cash, and he's like, "No, over there." And he's like, and then he had to kind of guide me through. Well, I've never been on one of these things before.
We burst in like barbarians, not knowing what we're doing, and trying to, you know, give the guy money who's driving. And he just, yeah, like Kyle said, just point us to the machine, which, you know, we didn't know how to use either. Just gave that a $5 bill. And you have 50 cents coming back. It's on that card.
Right. That's why I have the card now. But it was liberating embracing this. And I was actually, like, I hadn't used it. Maybe if it was more of a part of my life, like, out of necessity, I'd balk at having to use it. And this situation, that was new. It was like, I imagine some of our travels. And I said this to you at the time. Not really being that mad at trying this option out. We had the time, and that agility, it just reminded me of a lot of our travels and programs, shows we've shared here with listeners, just where, like, you're in a place, you have no idea what's going on, and not having ridden this very local system, it felt like that. I was like, okay, let's figure it out, like, now, because that's the best solution. And there's liberation in being that flexible, but also learning and getting the benefit in this case, which is not, you know, being out hundreds of dollars or whatever.
Yeah, or just being out in the cold, having a way back. But let me ask you, Kyle, and feel free not to answer this because it is kind of a putting you on the spot here, but can you remember a challenge like that in one of our travels that was kind of similar to what we went through yesterday in the very local town of Riverhead?
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking one, too. Which one are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of Moldova.
That was the same one I was thinking of. Yeah. Wow, because we got off the train station. We had to figure out how to get to where we were staying.
We had already been plied with some local beer.
That's right. We went into a place. It was the morning, but still, you have beer in the morning.
He was happy to just keep preparing things and taking our money.
He was so nice. But do you remember the guy who kept, the taxi driver who kept following us saying taxi?
Yeah.
Where we went, like we were going to change our minds?
What we really wanted to do is make our way from the actual station. And what the locals use is sort of a mini bus system.
Little bus, yeah.
And the tickets they have are very much more, I guess, like newsprint.
Oh, I don't even remember what the tickets were.
I have some in my wallet.
Oh, you kept them?
I have all of them, yeah.
Wow.
they're like BA size, but the weight of the paper is more like newsprint.
BA sized?
The BA, like the French pass.
Oh, that's what the French pass is called. Wow.
For Paris, it's not that cardstock.
You're a lockbox of information. It just stays in there.
I just wish people would ask me more stuff. Like, people don't talk. They're generally uncurious human beings. And, like, yeah, I'm not going to just offer things. I'm not like a win friends and enemies type of person. Like, you know, I'm here and I know some stuff, and like, as long as I'm here, if people inquire, I can, you know, be part of their, you know, understanding of the world, but I don't have to be.
Well, I don't think people know who you are when they pass you on the street.
No, they don't have to. That's fine.
Maybe you should wear a sign saying who you are so people will come up to you and ask you those questions. Say, you're Kyle from the radio, and you have a bastion of knowledge of travel and currency. You carry all kinds of currency from different parts of the world as well, which is fascinating, and you know, starts all kinds of conversations. And even from this country, you have interesting currency, so it's... Yeah, don't underestimate what Kyle has in his head.
No, but if you come up and like ask to like see my currency straight away, you might get a paper cut.
Well, it depends how you ask. Yeah, that's very important. It's all in the delivery. But anyway, so the bus ride was really cool. We were the only ones that got on when the bus came. I don't know if it just started from there. It might have just started. It was, you know, a nice, cozy little bus, probably about, I don't know, a dozen seats, would you say, maybe 15. And then more people got on as we traveled west. And there are, you know, buses all over the place. They keep cutting the routes, which is stupid. What I suggest to people, if you have, you know, a little bit of time and you want to have a little adventure, get on a bus, you know, a local bus, take it somewhere and take another bus back. because they usually go both ways.
Those things were interesting. They were like vans.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Stepping over people and it was all you needed.
You see them. You see them on the road. You see these small buses. And I'm glad they're using the smaller ones because...
No, I was talking about Moldova.
Oh, we're back in Moldova. No, I'm in Suffolk County. Okay, well, yeah, these ones. Oh, that's stepping over people in Moldova. I remember that. But you know what? We mastered that system. I remember the person at the hotel we stayed at, 25 bucks a night, by the way. We wanted to go back into town, and she was telling us what we had to do, and we're like, we got it, no problem.
Yeah, I didn't mean to switch back to that.
No, it's fine. You can switch back to Moldova any time.
I was joking that it was sort of an interesting.
They're doing some good things over there, and you know, all the best wishes for them in the new year coming up, where it's already New Year's there. In fact, it's 1:16 in the morning in Moldova. No, you know what? It might be 2:16 in the morning. You know what? I'm not sure.
I remember the phone company Moldcell.
Yeah, yeah.
Moldcell.
So again, you know, if you want to join our conversation, 802-321-4225. We're not going to beg. We're just offering the option. If anybody wants to talk, we're here until 7. Then is, and then WUSB continues its New Year's Eve festivities.
A bash, extravaganza, you might say.
Yeah, a melee. No, wait, that's not the wrong word. Although it's probably an accurate word.
Nary a blowout.
All kinds of things like that.
A fun time, a rollicking radio.
Because why not? You know, that's when people ask why. What's there to celebrate? You know, why not? It's a point where the whole world seems to get together for a moment anyway.
Yeah. So I was ready over here, depending on where else you want to go. Pardon me for the next couple of minutes.
No, I'm knocking to the mic for
crashing
anyone.
Into things. Uh-huh. And I don't have my volume up very loud.
You want it louder?
No. Oh. Please don't.
Oh, your headphone volume.
My monitor volume. Just keep it low.
It's low.
I mean, I love hearing us. Sometimes there's a lot of us in my ears.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this isn't a judgment. And I didn't want to bring this up on...
Only half of us, and you could be over there.
All right, but... Wow, wait.
What do you think about that?
No, that actually works. I'll just do
Does that
one
work?
Here.
Because, you know, I'll be on the left, you be on the right.
That could work.
Yeah, kind of like an alt-right thing.
But I just feel like it makes me a little less quiet, because sometimes I'm too low, and then I get amplified, and I'm fine with, like, a normal speaking voice, you know?
Stop wandering around the room.
And also, you know, I hear you. You're in front of me.
Uh-huh.
I don't need you amplified in my ears.
No.
I'm just trying to live my life over here.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
So, it's just about, you know, being honest and open.
We've talked about our levels more often, I think, than any other radio show, not only on this radio station, but in the entire tri-state area.
So anyway, I knew I hit the mic, but I can't really hear if any ambient stuff.
We'll get letters. We'll get letters about that. Don't
but
worry.
You wanted to move on. I just want to let you know I'm ready with the buttons and stuff over here and everything to do what we had.
And the ringer for our phone is on, right?
Yeah, it's
you can
on.
Tell because sometimes it's off and people are calling. We don't know.
Yeah, but go ahead and do what you're
going to
do.
You know,
first.
I just wanted to mention for those who don't know, Jimmy Carter passed away.
He's still dead.
Yeah, he passed away and he stayed away. He's. You know, interesting fact. When I joined the radio station, Jimmy Carter was president. What do you think about that? Yeah, that's true. When I walked into WUSB for the first time. Jimmy Carter was the president of the United States. And I'll tell you something, you know, I think he's a great guy, was a great guy. He was a terrible president. I really don't think he was a good president. And the reason I say that is because, well, I lived through the period. I know there are all kinds of demonstrations, including at Stony Brook, against his policy towards Iran, which was to keep the Shah of Iran in power. Now, you might say, it didn't go so well after that. Well, the reason things didn't go so well after that is because people were kept suppressed for so long that when they finally erupted... it was complete mayhem and hostility and all kinds of things that we're seeing continue to this day. You would not have the Iran that exists right now had the Shah of Iran not been supported to the extent that the United States supported him back in the 70s and before that as well. I could go into it for quite a period of time. But, yeah, he wasn't a very strong president. He wasn't very forceful. And... I kind of think that's why Reagan marched over him in 1980, unfortunately. You know, he had the potential to be good, but I think back then Democrats were even more wishy-washy than they are now. The word progressive, I don't think, was even a word they knew. But all that said, since he left office, all the work he has done for charities and building houses and just being, you know, a decent person, that has far outweighed his relatively poor time as president. Still, you know, looking at who we have had since then, he's still one of the better presidents as far as who has held the office, you know, in from then until now. And certainly he's going to be well ahead of whatever is ahead of us right now. So if you're planning on going to the official state funeral, well, January 9th is a national day of mourning. I'm not exactly sure what we're supposed to do. I think the government is shut down. President Biden will be delivering a eulogy at Carter's funeral service, which will be held at the Washington National Cathedral. Carter's motorcade will travel through Plains on January the 4th, past his boyhood home and the Georgia State Capitol, before arriving at the Carter Presidential Center in Atlanta. That's according to plans released by the Joint Task Force National Capital Region in the Department of Defense, who for some reason are conducting the ceremonies. After the service at the Carter Center, the former president will lie in repose there, and the public can pay their respects until the morning of January 7th. Then he's off to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda, we were there, in Washington, D.C. The Capitol will be open to the public on the night of January 7th. That's a week from tonight. And that's going to run until January 9th, which is a week from Thursday. That's ahead of Carter's funeral service at the Washington National Cathedral at 10 a.m. And following the service, the late president and his family will travel back to Georgia to the Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains, where the former president taught Sunday school for decades, and there'll be a private funeral service there. The public is invited to gather along a motorcade route that will travel through Carter's hometown to his residence, where he will be buried, the same location his wife Rosalind was buried following her death last year. Last president to lay in state was George H.W. Bush back in 2018. A state funeral for Bush was also held at the Washington National Cathedral, where some 3,000 people, including Carter and other political leaders, congregated to say goodbye to the 41st president. Biden, as I mentioned, will be President Biden will be delivering the eulogy. Not clear if the next president of the United States will be attending this, or if he's even invited to attend this. So yeah, it could be quite interesting. But something that did happen, which I thought was both fascinating and funny, on Fox News, they had a reaction because President Biden, in one of his remarks since the death was reported, he named the one thing that Donald Trump could learn from Jimmy Carter. Caused a meltdown on Fox News. Yeah, the co-host of the show Outnumbered spent nearly 7 minutes criticizing Biden for suggesting that Trump is indecent. So, okay. He suggested Trump was indecent, but you guys spent 7 minutes criticizing Biden for saying that. I don't know. What's more worthy of note here? Basically, President Joe Biden's suggestion that President-elect Donald Trump could learn decency from former President Jimmy Carter led to outrage and a meltdown on Fox News' Outnumbered yesterday. It's a shame and it's embarrassing for Joe Biden, Tammy Bruce, a Fox News contributor, said during the segment. Joe Biden will be known for just being a failed president and an indecent man, Fox News political analyst Lisa Booth added. Lisa, you can't use the same word. He used the word indecent, right? You can't use that. I think he's just going to continue to go out looking like a bitter old man, Dr. Nicole Safier, another Fox News contributor, said. For nearly 7 minutes, the Outnumbered co-host unleashed angry comments about the president for doling out advice to the incoming president. Biden's comment about Trump learning decency from Carter was in response to a question from a reporter who asked what the president-elect should learn from Carter, who died on Sunday at age of 100, older than any other former president. Decency, 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 Biden began. Everybody deserves a shot. Everybody. Can you imagine Jimmy Carter walking by someone who needed something and just keeping walking? Okay, that was a grammatical slip-up, but it happens. Can you imagine Jimmy Carter referring to someone by the way they look or talk? I can't. Wait a minute. He didn't even say Trump. All he did, this is incredible. All he did was talk about decency. All he did was say what it takes to be decent and what is not decent. And, correction, he didn't use the word indecent, so I guess that Fox News person can say that. So if you even mention decency and say somebody was a decent person and that there are indecent people who can learn from the decent person, well, that means you must be talking about Trump. I mean, they pretty much said that themselves. Wow. Okay. Because he used the word decency. It's going to be a fun 4 years. Boy, if they're easily triggered, it's going to be fun. All right. Some listener mail. And by the way, Kyle, no listener phone calls yet.
No.
I haven't heard the bells of the phone ringing.
It's 802-321-4225.
It's the right number. Yeah. 802-321-4. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the area code. Yeah, it's a different area code. But, you know, all calls are the same these days. You know, there's no local. There's no long distance. So we just happen to have a virtual number. So it's just 10 digits. 802-321-4225.
This could be good work for you. I mean, it could be a breakthrough. You know, going outside your comfort zone, being on the radio, sharing an idea. We want to support that.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you have something to think about on New Year's Eve, you know? Some reflective thoughts.
Yeah, leave us with something. You know? It's like a send-off for 2024, you know?
What are your wishes for 2025 and beyond?
Include us.
Yes, please. We feel so out of it. Okay, so we have some listener mail, and you can write listener mail to otw@2600.com. It's not quite as immediate as a phone call, but it's also fun to do and sometimes therapeutic. Hi, Emmanuel and crew. Hope you are all doing well. I wanted to share my theory about the recent drone sightings. Remember the drones? Did I not say that we were just going to start forgetting about them and that nothing is going to change and they're just going to be gone and we're going to somehow say, yeah, it was all Biden's fault and never really define what was going on? Well, that seems to be what's happening. Anyway, back in the spring of 2016, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I live, approximately 60 billboards across the city were updated with the same design, a plain white background with the word ubiquitous written in black. There was no other text or context provided. About a month later, the group behind the billboards came forward to explain the message. Spoiler alert. It turned out to be a marketing stunt by Coca-Cola. Perhaps the recent drones are another similar marketing stunt. Government reports consistently state that the drones are not hostile, which suggests they might know more than they're letting on. Whatever company is behind the drones could have received some kind of permission to operate in this unusual manner. It's an interesting theory. J-Mo, thank you for that letter. He says, keep up the good work and we will try. You know, I think if it was a company doing this, there would be some kind of record someplace, and somebody would spill the beans at some point. I think it's just normal traffic. I think it's just what, you know, when everybody is out there buying drones and playing around with them, you know, you're going to see them. And if you start looking up at the sky looking for them, you're going to see them more, especially at night when they have lights on them. And if you're looking for drones, you're going to identify things as drones that aren't drones and never were drones, like planets and stars and airplanes and satellites. There are all kinds of things in the sky. Yeah, unknown things, too. But the whole story was ridiculous, bizarre, and fascinating. So look forward to see where that's going to go next. All right, another letter. Dear Emmanuel and Kyle, I'm a longtime listener of your shows based in Germany. I was especially delighted that you found room in your last week's show to give a quite accurate account of the tragic incidents that took place in Magdeburg in Germany. You might also have noted that Elon Musk is currently trying to influence our upcoming Bundestag elections by actively endorsing AfD. For instance, his opinion piece published in one of the large newspapers where he called the fascist party the only savior for Germany. It's still causing much upheaval. These are indeed joyous times to live in. All the best, Sven. Sven, thank you so much for that letter. And yeah, it's true. You know, we have idiots like Elon Musk going around. None of the first thing about world history or the dangers of fascism. They just, you know, go for the simple words, and they just embrace all this utter nonsense, and that's what we're seeing here.
Well, and I love the sort of myopic nature of their appreciation of populism when it is for them. Like, they have no concept of the potential for it to be quite the opposite for their liking.
Yeah.
And I think that's telling. Like, they love it when they can wield it, but have no concept of it turning on them.
No, absolutely.
It's unbelievable. Like, okay, cool, so smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not exactly the brightest bulb in the bunch, any of them. But, you know, they will tear each other apart at some point. You know, Musk, Trump, the MAGA people, the alt-right. The rest of us, I think, should just sit back and watch them tear things apart, tear themselves apart, while we make sure they don't tear the things apart that matter to us. They don't matter to us. They can destroy themselves. And we'll just have a ringside seat watching. All right, and, you know, there's the rest of the world, too, and all kinds of developments, and I hope the rest of the world has a spine and stands up to all the nonsense that Trump is going to be threatening them with. I'm talking about Canada, I'm talking about Europe, I'm talking about Mexico, all these places where he seems to think that he can control how they act, what they do, and be afraid of us. Don't be afraid of us. Laugh at us, because it's comedy at this point. The one place, though, there's a few places I'm really worried about. Ukraine is definitely one of them. But they're taking some interesting steps. They are shutting down the transit of Russian gas to the EU as of tomorrow, as of January 1st. That's when a 5-year deal between Ukraine's gas transit operator Naftogaz and Russia's Gazprom expires. Now, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky said his country would not allow Russia to earn additional billions on our blood, and he had given the EU a year to prepare. The European Commission said the continent's gas system was resilient and flexible, and that it had sufficient capacity to cope with the end of transit via Ukraine. Russia will still be able to send gas to Hungary, as well as Turkey and Serbia, through the TurkStream pipeline across the Black Sea. But the EU has significantly reduced imports of gas from Russia since it launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. But there are a number of Eastern member states that still depend largely on the supplies. You know, it really should be cut to zero. If you're serious about embargoes and punishing nations that do offensive things, and that should go across the board, well, you have to be serious about it. You have to also be prepared to make some sacrifices on your end. And, yeah, I know it's tough, you know, to cut off the pipeline completely. But there are other ways to make up for it. There are other ways to help out your neighbors. There are other ways to be creative, ingenious, and deal with some tough times. Because believe me, it's a lot tougher in Ukraine, what they are going through. And if you're going to stand up for somebody, stand up for them all the way, not halfway. And especially in 2025, where I see Ukraine possibly being a sacrificial lamb to this ignorant administration coming in, we need strong voices. We need to really up the ante on that end as well. All right, over to the Middle East. Yeah, let's keep things cheerful. This story, it's disturbing. It's disturbing. It bugged the hell out of me. And if it doesn't bug you, I can't understand it. I just can't understand it. You might have heard about this. Israel arrested a hospital director in a raid that closed the last major functioning health facility in northern Gaza. And, yeah, their forces have also been accused of ordering patients to strip in the streets. this is next level stuff here. You know, a year ago, we wouldn't be talking about this. We wouldn't be saying, oh, yeah, Israel is going to go and destroy every single hospital in Gaza. They're doing terrible things. But there are some lines they won't cross. Well, those lines don't exist anymore. They're destroying hospitals left and right. They are allowing patients to die in the streets. Now they're telling them to strip in the streets. These are patients. But all the time, they constantly say, well, we suspected they were members of Hamas. You know, there are going to be a lot more members of Hamas after Israel gets finished with this because of what they are doing. You know, if Hamas is the only resistance that people have, how can you be surprised? It's disgusting. And, you know, if you know anything about Gaza, you know that Hamas was ever present. So it's very hard to avoid being somehow affiliated with them. If they're gone, I'm glad they're gone. But was the price worth it? Certainly not. We have over 45,000 civilians killed to get rid of a group? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That is simply not the right thing to do under any circumstances. And, you know, if you want to look up what genocide actually means, genocide means attempts to wipe out an entire people, and that entire people can include things like political organizations. Hamas is a political organization. There are other things as well. They're a terrorist group, but they are also a political organization. There are political wings. There are all kinds of complexities here. And there is no doubt that Israel is trying to wipe out Hamas, even if it means wiping out innocent people along the way or accusing everybody of being members of Hamas. So, yeah, genocide. Merriam-Webster, look it up. Anyway, the Kamal Adwan Hospital is now empty after the remaining patients, some of them critically ill, along with caregivers and health workers, were transferred to the Indonesian hospital in Bait Lahaya, according to the World Health Organization. The facility has come under frequent Israeli fire in recent months, and its closure exacerbates a dire humanitarian situation in northern Gaza. The whereabouts of Kamal Adwan's director, Dr. Hassam Abu Savaya, and other staff are unclear. We do not know the fate of Dr. Hassam. He was actually threatened by the army as soon as they arrived at the hospital, a nurse from the hospital told CNN. The Israeli military acknowledged Saturday it had detained Dr. Safaya, saying he was suspected of being a Hamas terrorist operative, as well as a hospital director. The Israeli Defense Forces said it raided the area of the hospital and detained at least 240 Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists, alleging the facility was being used as a Hamas terror stronghold. Share your evidence. Show your work. Because just saying this, it's not good enough. Israeli forces launched a renewed aerial and ground incursion in several parts of northern Gaza in early October of this year, saying they were targeting a resurgent Hamas presence there. The onslaught has razed streets to carpets of debris, killing entire families, and of course, food, water, medical stocks severely depleted. But listen to this part. On Friday, Dr. Safaya said in a post on social media that Israeli forces were besieging the facility and issuing orders for its evacuation. This is a post from the guy that has now disappeared. Multiple nurses have said staff and patients were then ordered to leave the hospital and gather outside. Once outside, staff and patients were separated by gender, and both men and women were told to remove their clothes. Those who refused to remove their clothing were beaten. According to Shirak Saah Aratinzi, a nurse working in the laboratory. Reading these accounts, it sounds like Nazi Germany. And I know that's a comparison that is painful to make. But if you are somebody who is witnessing this, if you are somebody who is the target of this, you tell me how you're supposed to somehow say, oh yeah, but it's not as bad. It could be worse. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to be somebody who supports the state of Israel and see that it's represented by this now. And while I know a large number of people in Israel, maybe even the majority, are opposed to this kind of thing, well, you're not opposed enough, because it's still happening. To have someone like Netanyahu stay in power for so long, it's shameful. To have the IDF doing these terrible things to people in your name, you're complicit. Just as we will be complicit if we allow all the things that Trump is promising to do to actually take place. There are times when people need to stand up and be counted. This is one of those times. Let me read a little bit more here. From the accounts, they told us to sit down after gathering everyone. They made us strip down to our underwear in the cold. Significant number of people were detained and injured. Patients were beaten. There was no limit to the beating. They struck people on the head with hoses. They dragged three people at a time, including an injured person with a cast, and beat them on their heads. They spared no one, not the injured, not the elderly, not the children. Other patients were allegedly made to walk hours on foot to a school in northern Gaza alongside medical staff. They made us strip down to our underwear. It was a tough situation. They assaulted the wounded and the women. The IDF said it helped evacuate staff and patients ahead of the operation, later adding that an additional 95 patients, caregivers, and medical personnel were taken to the Indonesian hospital to maintain and operate essential systems. Well, somebody's lying. And somehow I don't think it's those people that look like they've just been beaten on TV that are the ones lying. The IDF has no comment on the allegations against them. And that's where the story ends. Literally, that's where the story ends. Yeah, it's my hope 2025, the season end to this nonsense, to this horror. And that people will finally raise their voices a bit. All right, yeah, boy, this is an inspiring New Year's Eve, isn't it? All right, we're coming up in just about 15 minutes to New Year's in London and various other cities. I'm sorry, Kyle, I drove you away with all the negativity. I know.
I don't want to hear any of that crap. I'm so tired of it.
Well,
and I love what we talk about, and I know everybody out there cares and needs this. It's catharsis, but, like, there's so many things I get to be the unofficial expert on that I don't want to have an opinion on this. I don't want to have an opinion on so many things, and it's very, like, exhausting. And, like, I love persona, and I love, like, being that catharsis, but I can't be it all the time. Like, and I think that's very true for all kinds of people. We can't be, at every moment what, you know, the rest need.
No, it rips my heart out. It really does. I'm going to give the phone number out one more time, but, it's okay. It's okay if people want to, and I understand it's a busy night. People are out doing various other things. 802-321-4225. That is the last time I will say it unless we get a phone call. But unfortunately, Kyle, I do have another conflict I must report on. And I realize that to many people around here, this is the most important conflict going on. And, of course, I'm talking about the dispute between MSG Networks and Altice. And the fact that you might not be able to watch the Knicks on TV. Yeah, now we're finally in it. We're finally dealing with issues. Okay. MSG Networks and Altice, which is the parent company of Optimum TV, are in a carriage dispute that could knock MSG off the cable service. when its current deal expires at midnight. When that ball drops in Times Square, your reception of the Knicks, the Rangers, the Islanders, that will drop too. Unless we all pray for a miracle. A carriage dispute, and in case you don't know, it's a disagreement over compensation between the distributor, which is Altice, to carry a channel from the provider, which is MSG Networks. Didn't Cablevision, which was the old name of Optimum, they owned MSG Networks. I can't keep track of it. I know the guy who founded it all, Charles Dolan was his name. He died this last week, and I can sort of understand why now. Boy, what a big mess. Fans have alternatives for watching games if MSG does go dark on Optimum at midnight. But you know what? You're going to have to figure it out on your own, because I'm done with this story. I can deal with some things, but this is just too much.
We have a phone call.
We have a phone call. All right. Well, let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. What's going on out there? You're in our time zone, I believe.
Yeah, waiting for the new year.
Yay. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I don't really, I never thought I'd see times such as these, really. But I just hope that the next year is better.
Well,
I doubt it. But
it's going to be hard to get worse, but yeah, I think it very well could get worse. Well, what kinds of things are you doing to stay sane?
Watching the news less.
Yep.
I mean, it's not that I'm not watching the news, but just less of certain things.
Yeah, that's a shared opinion. I think a lot of people were on edge, really trying to stay as informed as they could about politics, and that election just had people need a break, and like a lot of people were burnt out from it, and I think it's occupied so much of the media landscape and people's consciousness that it's, I don't know, I read about it being sort of a way to recharge, but people just can't be consumed with it all the time. It's, the point is to participate and then get back to the things that matter in your life.
I think I read that same story, and I think it was in the New York Times.
Yeah, it was an opinion.
Which means we're still reading the New York Times, so there's some, we're not cut off completely. We have to pay. Look, how do you think I found out Carter died?
Don't tell them.
But definitely, I've cut back a lot. I know we're watching a lot less C-SPAN. You know what we have on a lot of the time is Inuit TV, because it is just so comforting somehow to watch a channel from the North where people, you know, they're doing a lot of sealskin things, but they're also, it's just, I don't know what it is, Kyle, about why that is so comforting to just have on in the background, because you're not going to hear, you know, breaking news from Wolf Blitzer or anything like that.
Yeah, if you want to see elderly women render an animal, like, on the ice, it's definitely like a whale or something.
Or
like,
you saw somebody making a coat, it lasts almost the entire day. And she made this incredible coat.
I'm actually really into it. Yeah, it's like traditional wear. There's a crafts program, and she just goes through, and she's putting together this, assembling this whole thing. And I just, it's kind of my jam right now, because it's sewing, which is very, like, therapy, like, kind of that rhythm of the sewing machine and, like, assembling things, kind of like those how things work.
They have no commercials, and sometimes you don't know if you're watching a program from 40 years ago or from yesterday. There was something the other day where these kids were dancing. How would you describe the dance? It reminded me of like a couple of birds having a mating ritual, but basically.
Oh yeah, it's sort of a square dance, but it is exactly that. It's sort of where youths or people that are coming of age in the community. And even really young people, but the whole community dance, and usually it's like couples dancing, like square dancing. So you dance in opposition to a partner.
The dance is kind of like what, a shuffle or something? Or?
Yep. It's not square dance. Why would I even say that? No, it's I don't know what to compare it to because culturally I am vacant.
Well, you just kind of okay. So you see a kid of around what 10 or 11 come out and he's just like shuffling his feet.
A hop and a shuffle.
Yeah, and then a girl comes out from the other side and they just sort of circle each other and do that for about I don't know a minute or less, and then they go away and two more people come out and do it. And that's a program for a half hour on this channel. I don't know why, but I just love having something like that on. But, doesn't drive me crazy.
It can be a kind of thing where you're seeing the sort of burgeoning friendships and relationships, and it's that bond mm-hmm. in community and everybody sort of cheering on and acknowledging people. And it just that's the kind of stuff that I think kind of makes you happy. You realize that that's going on as well as whatever kind of stressful thing.
We're able to see Inuit TV because we have a Canadian dish, but it might be streaming online as well, but you know, there's other ways to escape as well. There are other calming, okay, like Turner Classic Movies, for instance. Having that on in the background, that's one of the best channels ever created.
Also, my jam.
Yeah, and that you can get in the States.
I feel very like geezer watching it because it's meant a little bit for like the older set, but it's really just if you like cinema or old stuff, like other eras, historic productions, and I really feel like their whole the way they run the network, the way they comment on stuff, it's actually been like brought up to the times a little bit from like what I remember. Like you know, you'd skip over it when you were a kid because it wasn't colorful or had enough toys in it or whatever. But it's really good now.
Yeah, and again, no commercials. You might have a film on from the 30s or the 50s, and it's just somehow relaxing.
And it might be something from your era, too. You're like, whoa, how did something I grew up with make it here? And then you do, like, self-reflection, get good with your age, and move on. But, yeah, it's cool.
Caller, we're going to give you the last thoughts here.
Well, still burnt out from the first 4 years of Trump.
There were four years between then and now. No recovery?
Yeah, I thought about it wasn't enough.
It's also sort of an antidote. I mean, people are prepared. They kind of know, like, roughly what to expect, and even to expect totally, you know, unusual, even more bizarre
mm-hmm.
Functionality. But, yeah, recharge and, sure, we hear that, too.
Yeah. Anything else?
I'm hoping for a new flu vaccine in 2025.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good thought.
And yeah.
For people and for cats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People forget about the cats.
They do. They do.
You gotta remember that.
Gotta keep your pets healthy.
They don't seem to be very alarmed, and that's just really strange to me.
So. The H1, or the bird flu, absolutely. The bird flu stuff seems to be surfacing, bubbling up in the news, and I'm finding myself appreciating the era we're living in as far as biotechnology and our understanding of these things, but I'm also very curious, you know, like, who's going to license mRNA next, and how's it going to be sold to us, or how's it going to be, what will it be used for? Will it be used for something magnanimous and good for the world, or will it be sinister? And in either case, will it be stolen and used for other reasons? Like, I'm very fascinated because we seem to forget that. We only talk about the pandemic, and we're living in sort of a different era after that technology has been proven. So I have hopes, but I'm also concerned about a lot of that.
I'm hopeful. I think RFK Jr. is going to be laughed out of D.C., and, you know, I think science and health concerns will always trump the issues, and, you know, that's my hope.
That would be great.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call.
And all right.
Hang
Happy
in there.
New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and enjoy it out there in Pennsylvania.
I'll try.
Okay. Take care. And wherever you happen to be, try and enjoy things as best you can, because you're always going to be you, and you always are going to have your unique perspective. They can't take that away, and there are so many more people out there who are cool. And you know what? If you want to cheer up, I'm going to recommend this to people. I don't often do this, but a TV show that pretty much personifies what I'm saying here about unique people being in the most unexpected places. Somebody Somewhere. Great TV show. It was on HBO, I think, until recently. 3 seasons. Track it down. I don't know where it is exactly. I think it's on Max. I'm not sure. But it's just basically about people in Kansas, alternative communities, and just really, really positive. A lot of church influence as well. So, yeah, coming from me, that's an unusual recommendation. But I don't know. It's a show I love, and I'm going to miss it now that it's gone, but it's still there in repeats.
Yeah, and if you can't say it, sing it.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, everybody in the UK and Ireland, Scotland, Wales, throughout the Isles, Happy New Year. You've got 30 seconds. Actually, no, you have 30 seconds. You have 30 seconds and 3 minutes, I think. Yeah, before New Year's. So happy 2025 to you. It's coming for us. It'll be here in 5 hours. And wherever you happen to be tonight, please be safe. Please don't drive until you're ready to drive. It's going to be raining heavily. So all kinds of challenges ahead. All right, we'll see you next week, next year. Good night.
Everyone, hello. It is 7 p.m. and you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM. My name is Trevor, and this is the longest edition of Country Pocket ever. I am very well known for taking a couple hours out at the end of the year or at the beginning of the next year and doing a best of the year review show.